Our sermon text this morning is from Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 21. Galatians 2, 11 to 21. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Yahweh, we come unto you, your tabernacle, to worship at your footstool. You clothe your priests with righteousness, that we, your saints, would sing for joy. Teach us your testimony. Bless your people with abundant provision. Satisfy the poor with bread. Clothe us in your salvation, and the saints shall shout aloud for joy. Clothe your enemies with shame, that your crown shall flourish throughout heaven and earth. Teach us now, O Lord, from your word by your Spirit, that we may proclaim the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, if you would like to follow along and count how many times I say Jesus, I will give you a count at the conclusion of the service. Just follow along and count how many times I say Jesus. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sermon text this morning from Galatians chapter 2 deals with a confrontation. An apostolic confrontation with the truth of the gospel at stake. Now, as we've been working through Galatians, the first chapter and a half, that first section has been Paul's apostleship from Jesus Christ. Paul is on equal standing with the other apostles. Jesus himself called Paul. Paul's gospel, which he proclaims, is from Jesus. In last week's sermon text from Galatians 2, 1 through 10, showed a unity among the apostles, a unity in ministering the truth of the gospel to others. Peter, James, and John ministered the gospel to Jews. Paul ministered the gospel to Gentiles. Now that unity was fractured in this next section, our sermon text today, as Paul confronts Peter at Antioch. And the Apostle Paul viewed the situation with Peter as a very, very serious matter. Paul told Peter that he stood condemned. I know verse 11 says that he stood blamed, but actually the word is better translated condemned. That's much stronger, more serious. Peter stood condemned. Now the issue for Peter, why he stood condemned, was a matter of the true ministry of the gospel to Gentiles. And Peter had been doing that, ministering freely to Gentiles, until Jews showed up, until the circumcision party arrived from James. And when they arrived, Peter reverted back to distinctions between Jews and Gentiles. So when they were not around, he was freely ministering to Gentiles. But when he looks and they're standing there, he goes back to those old distinctions between Jew and Gentile. He separated, Peter did. He reintroduced divisions between the people. He treated Gentile Christians differently than Jewish Christians in terms of an unequal status. Peter basically would not eat with Gentile Christians while Jewish Christians were around. He would not have table fellowship with Gentile Christians. The Apostle Paul said Peter was a hypocrite. His actions were hypocrisy. Peter, an apostle, a leader, he led other Jewish Christians, including church leader Barnabas, to follow him in his hypocrisy. Paul said they were not truthful about the gospel by making this distinction. By not sitting at table with Gentile Christians, they were not truthful about the gospel. Peter's actions, their actions, testified that Gentile Christians were not full members of the church. Peter introduced a class system among the brethren. Peter inserted a division that Jesus had eliminated. Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, "Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that you Gentiles at that time were without Christ. You Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now Gentiles, you in Christ Jesus, you once were far off. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Jesus has made both Jew and Gentile one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. He's abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. That he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. And through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father." That's what Jesus did. He broke down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. And what Jesus broke down, Peter put back up. Peter reinstituted that wall. He acted like Torah was still in effect. Previously, Torah was given to set apart Israel as a priestly nation. Israel was to serve all the other nations, ministering to them. And that was a good and necessary division in redemptive history. Torah was given in redemptive history. But it was temporary. Jesus Christ unifies every nation, every tribe, every tongue in himself. All Christians from every tribe, tongue, and nation are one in Jesus Christ. Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ, and all have access by the Spirit to the Father. Now, in history, the Jews even added to Torah. The Jews wanted to strengthen that division. They inserted extra purity regulations of association. Peter, in particular, struggled with this. If you read in the book of Acts, Peter had an experience with Tabitha and later Cornelius that revealed a commitment to separations outside of Torah. Peter was associating in more divisions than Torah commanded. Torah did not forbid Jews from associating with Gentiles. They could eat together. That didn't violate Torah. You read in the Gospels of the Pharisees. They fought hard to establish and maintain their divisions between pure Jews and everyone else. They divided between other Jews who didn't keep Torah faithfully and hold to those extra regulations. They upheld divisions between Gentiles. And Jesus himself challenged that by having table fellowship with tax collectors and sinners. He didn't balk at their pressure, but Peter did. He felt that pressure and he succumbed to it. He divided Jew and Gentile. So Paul confronted him about this. They previously preached the same gospel. They had unity in that gospel. But Peter was committing a dangerous error for himself, for his leadership, and for the church. Because Paul threatens a false gospel is anathema. Let him be accursed. So Paul had to confront Peter. The gospel was at stake. Peter treated the Gentiles like true Christians until his audience changed. Peter loved the Gentile Christians until the cool kids showed up, until the group dynamic changed. When other Jews showed up, Peter turned into a hypocrite, one standing condemned, one proclaiming in his actions a false gospel. So Paul faithfully, lovingly called Peter to repentance. He was a leader. He was a brother. And he spoke hard words. The dividing line Peter was instituting had the threat of derailing his whole ministry, leading many others astray. And Peter stood condemned. So, a brother in Christ spoke hard words. You stand condemned. Repent. Peter had effectively left Jesus Christ. He resubmitted himself under Torah. By making those ethnic distinctions and denying the unity of the church between Jew and Gentile, Peter forsook the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He forsook the deliverance that he had in him, that all Christians have in Christ. By not eating at table with Gentiles, Peter denied his faith. Not Jesus, I want Torah. That's what his actions testified. Jesus is not enough. We must have Torah. He required the Gentiles to effectively leave Jesus for Torah. If you were a newly converted Gentile Christian, you're listening to the one and only Apostle Peter, he who preached at Pentecost. I have to eat over here with these Gentiles? Okay. I'm a second-class citizen? That makes sense because that's what all the Pharisees are saying. So, okay, Peter, whatever you say. So Paul told Peter, you've lost it. You've lost the true gospel. And not only did Peter forsake that gospel with his hypocrisy, Peter effectively accused Jesus of being a sinner, being a minister of sin. Because Jew and Gentile were justified in Jesus Christ, that was the gospel proclamation, Peter's actions revealed that Jesus wasn't good enough. They had to become Jews too. They had to be circumcised. They had to submit to purity regulations. And since Jesus wasn't enough, he didn't really save them. They were still in sin. Only Torah could save those Gentile Christians. The Gentiles had to become Jews to be saved. So the efficacy of what Jesus accomplished left Gentile Christians in their sin. They were in their sin until they submitted to Torah. Those Gentile Christians still stood condemned. No forgiveness, no deliverance. The ministry of Jesus to those Gentile Christians was sin. It was death. That's what Peter's actions revealed. That's what they testified. So Paul called Peter to repentance. Peter, you've condemned yourself. You're living like a Gentile when no one's around. You'll associate with anybody. But when you act like a Jew, when the other Jews showed up, you still have that Gentile association hanging over you. You have all that you've been doing before they got here. It's still on you. You're still in your sin. You stand condemned. Now, whether they were close or not, Peter and Paul, Paul revealed a love for Peter. And Paul did that by not preaching the gospel of nice. He didn't round off the hard edges of the gospel. He didn't take it easy on Peter. Peter, you know, can't we all just get along? Paul confronted him. Paul exhorted him to repent unto life. And they had this conversation face to face. He confronted Peter to his face. And this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. If you have something between the brethren, if you have something between you and your brother, something between you and your sister, go and talk face to face. Do it for the sake of the gospel. Do it for the sake of the church. Do it for the brethren. Even if it's hard. Love your brother. Love your sister. Have that hard conversation in obedience to Christ. The Spirit will bless you in that. Don't trust in your fleshly fear. Don't trust in your fleshly discomfort. I just can't do it. It's too hard. Don't trust in that. Trust the Spirit to have that hard conversation. When we Christians, vessels of the Holy Spirit, when we minister to one another, that same Spirit blesses our relationships. The Spirit blesses our encouragement to one another. When we rejoice with one another, when we mourn with one another, when we disciple one another, the Holy Spirit is the bond of our relationships. The Holy Spirit is the one who builds us up after the image of Jesus Christ. And he builds up these relationships we have. We're closer for having gone through those. Paul loved Jesus enough to confront Peter. Paul loved the gospel and the church enough to insert himself in that egregious error. And Paul loved his brother Peter enough to deliver those hard words to his face. In humility and submission to Jesus Christ, let us be willing to do the same thing and trust the Spirit to mature us through those conversations. Now, this division that Peter inserted at Antioch, this is the main issue in this letter to the Galatian churches. Do Gentile Christians have to become Jews to be saved? Must you become a Jew? And that's what Peter was imaging to them. Peter makes the distinction that Jew and Gentile Christians are different. Let us separate. But in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Not you, not me, not Peter, not Paul. If Jesus broke down that dividing wall by his faithfulness, if he broke it down, don't put it back up. The Lord Jesus Christ challenged those divisions. He challenged the Pharisaical divisions, those table fellowship taboos. He was willing to eat with sinners. He was willing to bust out of those relational restrictions. In the new covenant, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is mandatory. To love and have fellowship with God's people in all shapes and sizes, all ages, all backgrounds. Jesus said, for his people, it's not about ethnicity. It's not about tribalism. Paul preached it wasn't about family lines. It was about union with Jesus Christ. Whom do you confess? Jesus Christ is Lord. You are my people. Jesus says, who does the will of the Father? The inside cover of your liturgy from Luke 8. Jesus answered and said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's my family. Those are the people who belong to Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' family. This is the new humanity. And Peter tried to go back to the old and to lie about the gospel. There's still division. There's still a class system. He lied about the gospel. Now in Peter's hypocrisy, Peter did not say to the Gentiles, salvation is by grace. And then Jews showed up and he said, get to work and earn your salvation. Merit it. That's what we have to do. Right, Jewish brothers? We have to earn it. That's not what he was saying. That's not the tension here. Peter declared, we are one in Christ Jesus. And then when Jews showed up, he said, you sit over there and you sit over there and don't come into contact with one another. That's the question. Who is your Lord? Is your Lord Torah or Jesus? The unity that we have in the gospel is there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Presbyterian nor Methodist, Lutheran nor Baptist. We are one in Christ Jesus. Jesus saves us, not Torah. Holding to your ethnic lines of family heritage does not save you. This is the family of God. This is Jesus' family. And that is the case whether you're a Christian from Alabama, California, or even Minnesota, we are one in Christ Jesus. And it's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that unites a people like this. That's the gospel Paul proclaimed. The other apostles preached it. To break down dividing walls of different histories, different experiences that we've had, looking different, talking different. Old religious systems have been forsaken. Okay, you're leaving Torah behind for Jesus. Okay, you're one of us. You're leaving Zeus behind for Jesus. Okay. You worship Demos. You worship Mammon. We're all in Jesus now. We're all born anew in Jesus Christ. And God unites us in Christ. He holds us together in Jesus Christ. The flesh will not hold us together. Flesh doesn't want to hold this together. Flesh wants the enmity. But we died to the flesh on the cross in Jesus Christ. And now we live united to him. And that's the sake for all Christians. We don't live in the flesh like that. This new association, which is imaged in table fellowship, is the gospel Peter was denying. Peter honored the old fleshly alliances. He wouldn't sit and eat with Gentile Christians. Now, according to the gospel, we have the vertical. We have reconciliation with the Father. We have deliverance from that former evil age. We have the promise of eternal life. That is all true, and it is glorious. But the gospel's for the horizontal as well. We have fellowship with the brethren. We belong to the new humanity, all those united to Jesus Christ. And we image this at the table. We image this in our relationships with one another. We one another one another. We image this in our homes. You meet a Christian. Hey, we're in the same family. You're a Christian? I'm a Christian. Jesus loves you and died for you. Jesus loves me and died for me too. So, I love you too. And I'm willing to die for you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you too? Huh, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And he is the bond of our relationship. So, let's eat. Let's sing. Let's have fellowship together. How good and pleasant it is when we can dwell in unity in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. To forsake that, to retreat to fleshly relationships that are subordinate, to those relationships that are even counterfeit to the gospel, is to deny it. It's to deny Jesus Christ. To say, you're not a real Christian unless blank. Unless you wear the right clothes. Unless you homeschool. Unless you eat this diet. You're not a real Christian unless you have a star on your belly like all the other star-bellied sneeches. That is to deny the gospel. Salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. That's the distinction. Who is your Lord? Whom do you confess? If Jesus is your Lord, we are in the same family. Whether you're from Odenville or from Huntsville, we are the same family. We can call each other brother or sister, and we can embrace because of what Jesus has accomplished. And we rejoice in this for the blessed opportunity to have fellowship with one another. And that fellowship is here and it's over there. Now, the new humanity can be messy. Different people from different backgrounds, different experiences, with different maturity levels. That can be hard. And flesh can't overcome that. You can't figure that out according to the flesh. But we cling to the promise, the glorious gospel truth, that Jesus faithfully won the victory. He faithfully died and rose again and was vindicated. And he did that for his church, to unite Jew and Gentile, to unite all nations in himself. And whatever differences we have within the one body, within the church, with no dividing walls, we can overcome those differences because we've been crucified in Christ. We don't have to give in to the fleshly weakness. We can never figure this out. We're just too weak in the flesh. We don't have to say that. Jesus lives in us. He strengthens our bonds. He brings us through the challenges in life, the conflicts, the tests of faith. Jesus brings us through that. So, brothers and sisters, keep coming to the table together. Keep feasting together. Keep fellowshipping with the brethren. Image the gospel. Strive with one another and our differences. We don't dismiss them as though they're no big deal. We can have differences, but lovingly engage. Because dividing the church in fleshly ways is unacceptable. It is to lie about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as it was for Peter, hear these words, it is potentially damning to insert divisions in Christ. He unites us now and into eternal life. Believe that and enjoy that reality. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O God, who has taught us to keep all your commandments, in loving you and loving our neighbor, grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.